As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
It's not about me. I'm only here for a minute, and I know that I can't fix it. I can help even just a little bit. Won't you let me try?
Hello, welcome to our Laz and Powers. This is Scott Powers of The Athletic. Usually I'm joined by Mark Lazarus, but Mark is out in New York covering the playoffs, having fun, and so you're stuck with me today. We wrapped up the Hawks season on our last episode and probably let that sit for a little bit. Not a whole lot going on. The draft lottery is on May 8th, so there's not much probably between now and then. The Rockford IceHogs did make the playoffs. They just squeaked in by winning on Sunday. Arvid Soderblom started all three games over the weekend, I believe won two of them, and pulled out that last one. So there is some playoff hockey, and it'll be interesting. The Blackhawks have a bunch of guys they just they either guys that they signed or the guys that they loaned back to Rockford. You know, there's guys like Gavin Hayes and Drew Camaso, and a whole lot of them. Who else is there? Paul Lewinsky, but he's hurt, and Ryder Rolston, who they just signed out of college. So there's a bunch of young prospects that are just arriving. I don't know how many will actually play in the playoffs. It sounds like they wanted to get some of their veterans early on in the series. They play the Iowa Wild, who they've played, it seemed like, a million times so far. But some of those guys might see some action. I know that was sort of the hope this year, was to get in the playoffs and allow some guys from junior college to get a kind of a taste of pro hockey, and certainly want guys like Reichel and Vlasic and those players getting some meaningful games too. So for today we have Rockford IceHogs coach Anders Sorensen Was willing to talk to me just after the series ended on Sunday. Today's Monday, so he talked to me for 15-20 minutes. And we talked about development and Reichel and Vlasic's path and Cole Gutman and a few others, and then also just overall philosophy. So I've talked to Anders a lot over the years, and he's always interesting. I know he's someone that looks into analytics, and he's done his own tracking in the off season and playoffs, and he's a hockey nerd and loves talking hockey too. So I appreciate his time. And here's Anders Sorensen.
Anders, welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, Scott.
How, I guess, relief after yesterday?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, happy, excited to get the postseason going here. It was obviously tight all the way in there.
I suppose nice for them to take care of it in the first period pretty much yesterday too, huh?
Yeah, I thought our start was really good. And then after that, I thought we did a good job of defending it.
Was the plan always to play Arvid in three games, or what was sort of the thought process?
I don't know if it was always the plan, but yeah. it became the plan, especially as well as he was playing. Obviously, Stauber has been playing really well for us as well, but we just felt like with Arvid took his game to another level here.
What did you sort of have to run that by him, or what's how do you kind of approach the third consecutive game?
Yeah, great question. We did have a dialogue for sure with him, just making sure that he was mentally and physically sharp enough to do that, and he did feel like he could handle it. So that's what we did.
Yeah. What's impressed you about his season and his development from the last few years?
Lots of different things, but I think the biggest thing, just his ability to kind of manage and understand the things that he can control and the things he can't control, and focus on the things he can control. And even within games, he's really good at that, understanding that, hey, there's nothing I can do about this goal or the situation. He kind of puts it behind him, or if there was things that he can do about it, he wants to improve in that area or look at that.
Is this different? Has this been different this season for you compared to last year? Or last year was an interim job, and I mean, you guys finished with the same amount of points, but it, every year in the American League, it seems like the adversities are different, and you guys are kind of for a while there, you guys didn't have a lot of call ups or injuries, and then. Arvid's called up, and then there's a rash of injuries and, trades in Chicago. How's this season been different for you?
Well, I think you hit it on the head there. I think that was the biggest difference this year compared to last year. It was more so the revolving door that ended up kind of happening there, starting, I think, in November. There was injuries by us. There was injuries up top. There was call-ups. And because of that, the lineup looked different. Completely different night to night at times, and that's part of the being in American League. I think last year, I think we were able to kind of have a more stable group and the same guys continuously all along. Where this year was different that way for sure. So definitely created a different challenge for us. But I thought the guys that came up from Indy or the guys that were on AHL contracts with us did a great job of playing through that and playing in those roles that maybe they weren't expected to be in.
How do you handle that as a coach? How did you kind of, just maneuver through all that?
Yeah, great question. I think it's our staff is great with Jared and Clint Cameron and Peter Aubrey. And we just kind of, we work through things and try to figure out what guys fit in the best in certain lines and roles and whatnot. But it's definitely interesting. Keeps you on your toes. I think a lot of times you spend a lot of times looking at lineups and, what would be a good fit.
How much of, I guess there are some different philosophies, and I know especially with the Chicago Wolves kind of making their decision recently, how they think there's a balance between winning and developing. And it seemed like it was more of an approach by Kyle Davidson this year and going out and getting Cini and Phillip and Sakura and, all the guys down the line. Was there more of a thought process that you feel like going into the season that we can better balance this, or we can, even having some of those veterans in would maybe supplement or help those younger players in a different way?
Yeah, no, I do think, and I think there is a balance there. I think we've talked about this in the past. I definitely think there's a balance between winning and developing. I think there's a way to marry the two, and You know, I think that when you add guys like we added, it does, you know, the expectations are, raised. But, you know, gotta remember those guys that we signed to, they want to play in NHL. They still, that's kind of their goal. They're still, it's not like they're, 34, 35 years old. And we saw some examples of that with Dave Gust and even Luke Phillip getting their first NHL game and Sidney coming up. So those guys, which is what we like, we want them to strive to be in NHL still. And I think that kind of worked out well. And these guys want to win, and they're winners. They want to win, and that's a big part of it as well.
What differences have you noticed, I guess, under Kyle, or just have there been philosophical differences in what you guys are doing in development? Or I guess that's the question I get the most from the fans is like, how are things changing with development? How are guys progressing? And there was a span there where, it didn't feel like Chicago was getting a lot of guys from Rockford, and now you look at probably taking more time with Lucas Reichel, and certainly Alex Vlasic could have played in the NHL if needed it early in the season, and there was a decision to keep him down. What changed? You've been with the organization long enough. What do you feel like has changed with Kyle?
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing I've noticed. Like you said, if you want to use a term, overripen, guys are overripen, like Lucas and Blast and other guys as well, with Isaac Phillips, and these guys probably could have played more in NHL this year. But the decision to keep them down, keep working on their game, understanding there's value in that. And I think we saw that, especially with both Lucas and Blast coming up at the end of the year here, how well they played. And I think a lot of it is tribute to them just leaving them in the same spot for a while and really working on different parts of their game that they needed to improve on. Because once you get to the NHL, it gets a little bit tougher. The schedule is way different. The practice time is less. So maybe there's not as much time as develop. I still think you can develop when you're in the NHL, but there's definitely maybe a little bit less time and constraints there. So I think, using that, I think that's the biggest thing that they've implemented.
Can you walk through the process a little bit? I know that you guys kind of sit down at the beginning of the season and talk about goals that ways that you guys think that these players can improve, but also ask them for their input. And I know there's a lot of video, and I know a lot of those Mark Eden and all those guys get on the ice. I know it's not easy to boil down, but I get the whole process. Can you kind of describe it and sort of what the goals are and how you guys pursue them?
Yeah, no, I think you started off there the right way. We do meet, so we kind of decide, like we speak with our development group and myself and our staff here, and then obviously management, and let's use Vlasic, for example. We get input from different, if it's development staff or it's management, and myself, the guys that see him every day, and we kind of then I sit down with the player, and we determine some goals, and it's also player driven where we want their input. We want to know what they're feeling, what they need to improve on, because it is really, it's player centered. So once we come up, a lot of times a player will probably realize the areas that we're seeing is the same areas they want to improve on, or vice versa. A lot sometimes, they come up with things that you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a good point. Didn't think about that. So we come up with a couple of development goals, and then we start tracking those. We have our development team there that helps out with that, and then they come in and work with guys on the ice, with video. I'm always aware of, what's going on, and I get all the numbers and all the videos, and sometimes I'll sit with a player, but if not, it's Mark Eaton, Brian Keane, Chris Kunitz, and those guys will sit with players as well, and kind of just follow up on where they're at in their process, so to speak. And I think it's helped a lot of the players. I think the players themselves really like it, or I know they do. They express that. So I think it's a formula that we really think is working for us right now.
With Reichel, what was the plan this year, and where have you seen the strides?
With Lucas, it was the stuff, just the stuff that happens when he doesn't have the puck, or if something happens, the reaction to transition, the reaction to, if there is a turnover, it doesn't have to be him, it could be a teammate, how he reacts after that. And, staying engaged in battles and stopping on pucks has been a big thing for him. And I think he's made tremendous strides in that. Big thing for him is just, he's so dynamic with the puck, he's so dynamic off the rush. So for him, it was basically like, okay, what happens if there is a turnover? That, we want him to be part of the equation to get the puck back for our team, and he did a great job with that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
It's got to be neat to see that, you know, we're with the guy where it finally clicks, or it seemed like this last time in Chicago where you started seeing it translate more and more to what, you know, I guess from previous trips up there.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see all the games, but just talking to the staff up there and talking to Kyle and Norm and the games that I watch, I was just really impressed with his progress and just how comfortable he looked up there now. And, you know, obviously getting a little bit stronger, a little bit more mature helped him. But I think it was really fun to watch.
Can you notice the difference, I guess, when they come back to when Vlasic and Reichel, I guess, especially those two, since they've returned?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just their habits, you know, in terms of like how hard they can pass, you know, hard they pass the puck, the pace they're used to playing with coming back, you know, notice a big difference in that area.
I guess one of the other success stories this year, there've been a number of them, but Cole Gutman seemed, you know, older guy, but it seemed like it clicked for him pretty quickly. And, you know, it seemed to translate down there and then up in Chicago. What was the process working with him like?
Yeah, he is super impressive with Cole. He was, you know, just from day one, you know, in those rookie games, you just see his instincts, both with the puck and without the puck, and just how he competes and the way he puts himself on the ice in certain situations. And he was one of those guys that when they sat down and met with him, he got injured when he first came. He had a concussion and came back, and sitting down with him and kind of creating those development goals, he was one of those guys that brought up a goal that he had kind of evaluated himself that he needed to work on. That wasn't, you know, didn't come from us. And it made me like, oh, wow, like that was really, I was really impressed with his thought process and how he evaluated himself as a player, and that he kind of determined, okay, this is what I really need to improve on. So that was one of those, oh, wow moments, you know. So you learn from players as well, right? And, you know, so, you know, great kid, he's a winner.
What was the goal that he brought up that you guys hadn't thought of?
Yeah, no, he really wanted to work on his zone entries and just being able to adjust to the pro level instead of attacking guys one-on-one or tag, just being able to delay finding space, where the open space is, and being able to utilize his teammates coming in later, or, you know, adding the deception to bait guys in to get his teammates more a better look at scoring opportunities. I think when he came in, it was, you know, challenge, attack one-on-one a lot. And I think he kind of realized that pretty quickly that it wasn't going to work at this level.
I know that we've talked, just, you know, between you and I, you know, about analytics and even tracking games. And it seems like something that you're open to and you try to find value in. What, you know, as a head coach, and, you know, I know the data is different. I know that you guys get some data down there. How do you utilize that? And I know you do your own personal tracking a bit. What's important to you as a coach when you look at that type of thing?
Yeah, no, I mean, we I think what Kyle has done there with Jeff Greenberg coming in, the analytics staff we have put in place there, and what they're doing right now is really neat. I think it's being able to filter out the things that you, both on an individual basis for players and as a team, what you think is valuable. For me, obviously, you know, a couple of things that we really look at is, you know, the retrievals in the D zone, how do we get out of our D zone, right? And all contested stuff, so that basically we're getting forechecked. How are we doing coming out of that? And obviously also, what are we giving up in terms of in the slot, inner slot, super like lateral plays. And then same thing, vice versa, offensively, right? How are we creating those chances? Are we creating enough chances off the rush? Are we creating enough chances in zone? And just looking at the value of the shots, like, you know, we're trying to really making sure that when we you know, shot volume is one thing, but also the quality of our shots, you know, is something that I really look at.
With playoff hockey, do you is the game changed, do you think?
I think it changes for sure. I think it becomes more of a checking game, and not just defensive, but offensive forechecking game. The neutral zone forecheck, all those things become so much more important. So the more you can create off your forecheck, the better off you're probably going to be than maybe in the regular season.
Is that one of the focuses I get practice leading up to the game one then?
Yeah, it's something we talk about, right? And just, you know, and that all ties into the puck management, right? So, you know, those decisions around the lines offensively or defensively, where we put ourselves becomes so much more important at this time of the year. So that's something we talk about.
You've faced Iowa. I mean, you see a lot of these teams so often. Yeah. What's the preparation like? Or, you know, obviously their team changes and who they bring up and, you know, the same as you guys. So how, you know, I guess preparing a game to game from a team, it can be so different. How do you go approach these playoffs?
Well, just like you said, we play them 12 times in a year. We're in the process right now looking at their last couple of games. Have they changed anything? We haven't played them in about a month and a half here now, I believe. I think we have a pretty good handle on, you know, what they haven't changed too much from what we saw earlier in the year. So it's more so a matter of finding out where we can find space offensively and where we can kind of suffocate their time and space.
These two teams even go back to, I mean, it's the prospect tournament before the season. I mean, there's a bit of a rivalry between some of these players, yeah?
Yeah, we played, I think we played them in the prospect tournament, like you said, prospect games, and then I think we played them in the preseason as well. So I think we've seen them quite a bit here. So it should be a fun way to, you know, start the playoffs off.
What, you know, I guess with these games too, there's balancing. I know, you know, Kyle and even Luke Richardson's talked about the value of these guys playing in big games, and, you know, you want to give prospects opportunities, but also put your best players out there. How do you balance that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, the guys that have been there all year, the prospects that we have that have been with us all year, and then some of the older guys that have been there, deserve to get the first look at it, right? We have some young kids coming in from college and juniors that are part of the group right now, but, you know, it all depends on the injuries and how deep you go in the playoffs. But, you know, I think the big thing is for guys like Reichel, Vlasic, Phillips, and Arvid, even some of those older guys, you know, with Philper and Grimaldi and all these guys that have been around a little bit, giving them the opportunity to play in those situations is huge.
Yeah, the roster's definitely grown over the last few weeks, huh?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, no, it's good. There's some fresh faces coming in. They've been great. They're, you know, we kind of got a little bit of an extra group skate going on, and some of them participated in practice as well. But all the guys that have been coming in have been great. And I think a lot of it, first couple of years here, like with Hayes and Leipen and Rolston, it's their first taste of pro hockey. Just being around your Luke Philpe, you know, David Gust, Grimaldi's, and just see how they, you know, Joey Anderson, see how they prepare themselves and how they're getting ready, I think is a big learning factor for them.
How is, you know, I know Kamaitzel is going to be there too, and you guys have had, not that he's going to play, but I know even at the end of the season, you guys had a balance having the three goalies, and was that challenging at all? Or I guess Khudobin, I'm sure, was kind of understanding the situation too.
Yeah, no, I mean, every you know, every situation has its own little challenges. But I think Peter Albert, that is our goalie, does a great job of communicating with them, letting them know, you know, what we need to do in terms of practice or extra skates for those guys, and making sure we allocate enough time for those guys to get the ice they need and the work they need. And at the same time, whoever's going to play in net, making sure he's ready to play the game as well.
What's that relationship like with Luke, and what sort of, you know, it seems like a lot of guys have come up this year and certainly fit the system, and, you know, and he's credited you and your staff, and what's that like been, you know, you've worked under a couple of different head coaches now in the NHL, and just kind of adjusting and kind of learning what they want, and I'm sure teaching different systems, and what's that adjustment been like for you?
I think it's been really good. I think Luke is very clear on the concepts and the habits that he wanted the players to have in order to come up. And so that was kind of up to us to make sure we're installed, you know, instill that in them. And I think that, you know, the guys that come up, they know the concepts and the system that he wants and what the habits that he looks for, and very clear expectations, which I think helps.
What, are you excited? What's this time of year like for you?
Yeah, no, it is. It's very exciting, right? I mean, we feel like we've kind of been in a playoffs mode here for the last four or some weeks, I think. But so I think it's exciting to get going, right? Usually this time of the year, the weather is a little bit nicer. But I know we had a nice week last week. But yeah, no, we're looking forward to it. Hopefully on Wednesday here, it should be a good crowd at the BMO, and just come out. And it's our first, you know, our home game. So making sure we set the tone early. But it's, yeah, definitely exciting.
That's good. Alan, is there anything else you wanted to add? Anything I missed?
Not that I can think of. No, it's all good.
No, Anders, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks,
I appreciate it. And I know that I can fix it. I can help even just a little bit. Won't you let me try?